This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
Boy, do we got a tremendous show lined up for you today. Roy Williams will join us in 15 minutes. ACC Commissioner John Swofford will be with us as well. But we start with the latest on the Wake Forest coaching search. Jeff Goodman, a short while ago, reported Wes Miller and Steve Forbes are the front runners, with Pat Kelsey, Ryan Odom, and Thad Matta all being in the mix. Also, he mentioned a wild card candidate that I've been told by multiple guys I trust in the last 24 hours is involved. That's Harvard coach Tommy Amaker, and he makes a lot of sense to me. There's usually a dark horse candidate in most coaching searches. In Wake's case, it's certainly Amaker. To give you a sense on what I've been up to, show ends, I'm immediately on the phone. I'm talking to people who are saying things like, this coaching candidate is actually on campus right now, even though campus is closed and completely locked down. So you have to take some information and try to fact check it and put that next to other things that are out there. You don't want to trust everything you see, but normally some of the familiar faces who have done this for a very long time, Goodman being one of them, reliable information. So I do believe all those guys he mentioned to be in the mix, but if we are going to acknowledge Amaker as a candidate, you got to think he's a serious one, because Wake has been pushing this very quickly since Curry made the decision last Saturday. In fact, I've been told by at least three people that they're trying to get this thing done in the next 48 hours. So I think Wake's going to have a new coach by the end of the week. In Amaker's case, I think he has the best resume for Wake Forest. The perfect resume for Wake. We talk about understanding the job, how important that is. Fit, as Jay Billis told us yesterday, it's everything anywhere you go. What is Wake Forest? The smallest P6 institution in America. It's a private school. There are challenges with that. Also, there are specific challenges to Wake being in the same backyard as North Carolina, NC State, and that Duke program with that Mike Krzyzewski guy. Who understands that better than ACC Big Four royalty Amaker, who saw firsthand how Coach K built things up at a small private school in this state? Amaker, he's had success at a private school in Harvard, at a P6 in Michigan, and also he's been a head coach and won at Seton Hall. Like, look at his resume in terms of wins. Just in terms of wins. He is winning at a 60% clip. He's been a head coach for over 20 years at a couple of reputable basketball programs. Over 60% win percentage. 65% at Harvard. This is the safest candidate being considered in my mind. That doesn't mean he's the favorite, but I think he might be the safest guy on the board. He's going to win. He's going to build it the right way. He understands how to run things at a private institution. This is not a guy who's going to be making any excuses at all about why the Deeks can't win. I have him and Pat Kelsey at the very front of the list. I prefer Kelsey because he's younger, more energetic, 44 years old, high-fiving people, chest-bumping social media. Kelsey also has that connection to Skip Prosser. Wake didn't get it right with how it should have pursued Chris Mack in 2014. They can right that wrong with Kelsey. He is a risk stylistically, the way they played, not a lot of great defense. This a Big South, not a great conference by any means. But the guy wins. He has connections to Wake. He's young. He's energetic. I think Kelsey is the best risk, the best value for Wake. But if they wanted to have the safest candidate hired, I think that's Amaker. On Twitter, at SportsHubTriad, if you want to chime in, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. As I mentioned, Roy Williams is going to be our guest in 10 minutes. The big news of the day in college basketball, really across all sports, it is the NCAA's move towards allowing college athletes to be paid for name, image, and likeness. All along, whenever the debate of should college athletes be paid comes up, pay for play, I've always said, you gotta crawl before you stand, and you gotta crawl and stand before you run. Incrementally, you want to make sure you are improving. The arc is moving in a positive direction, not in a negative direction. This is positive news. And for me, I think it is very difficult to try and explain a model where colleges can directly pay students. You have a lot of issues with Title IX and how you're going to pay between football and basketball. It never made sense to me why college athletes couldn't benefit for signing some autographs or doing something for Dick's Sporting Goods or, you know, being able to sign a shoe deal. I never really understood that. So I think this is the NCAA. It usually takes a lot longer than it should, coming to its senses, but I'm going to wait and see what the details on this are. As the Board of Governors recommended to the NCAA, they want to see changes made in this department. These are not the changes themselves. That's going to be implemented by January. When those details are announced, I'm going to take a look at what exactly those are. But I do think good NIL legislation could have kept star players in this state an extra year in college. It could have prevented some guys from jumping immediately to the NBA. I think about Zion Williamson, for example. Oh, Josh, he would have been the number one pick. No chance he's coming back to Duke. It took a lot longer for him to announce it because he wanted to return. When he got injured, people said, oh, just prepare for the draft. He told us all along, I love Duke. I wanted to go to Duke. I would not have gone to Duke if I didn't want to play college basketball. Great relationship with Coach K. He saw a lot of exposure. He got a lot of exposure. He became a better player, learning under Coach K. He saw all the values of it, but there were just no advantages for Zion to go back to college. If he was able to obtain a shoe deal, just because he had 250,000, 300,000 Instagram followers going into school, if he had, let's say, $1 million shoe deal, knowing that he got a lot more, 15 times more after his first year at Duke, even if it was a $1 million shoe deal going into college, I think he might be more willing to come back. It's a pretty good interim shoe deal. Shoe deals alone, they would encourage, or I think they would be enough for college athletes to be satisfied for the interim. When the other side of the trade-off is, I get great coaching, I have a lot of fun on campus, I get to just be a kid, I could learn a ton, and a lot of these guys value the degrees, particularly their families value the degrees. Coby White. Coby wasn't a star going into college, but after his first year, if a shoe company said, we'll pay you $250,000, $300,000 to wear our shoe, I mean, shoe companies, they will invest in that because they feel like if they have a relationship with you in college or in high school, you'd be more likely to sign with them in the NBA. I think that would happen, and I think more guys would stick around than what we currently have, where it's kids balancing getting paid a ton of money versus not getting paid anything at all. Exposure plus endorsement deals plus great coaching equals college basketball being the best option out there. No questions asked. I keep hearing about this G League developmental whatever. It's not really the G League. It's these guys staying in the States. Okay, they get the practice, they get access to NBA coaches, they can look at them, but they're not playing actual games, they're not playing competitive games in the G League. They're playing friendlies. They're playing exhibitions. I can see that becoming popular for some, but you can't convince me that's better than being coached by Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, being coached by the best that's out there and getting the college experience. And if you add endorsement deals to that, man, I think it's big news for college basketball. It's big news for college sports at a time where they need it, where many think that the G League and the NBA are coming for college basketball stuff. Speaking of Coach Williams, the head coach of the Tar Heels is going to join this show next.
He was never voted most likely to succeed.
You're such a loser.
But then again, were you?
The very concept is unimaginable.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
The unofficial mascot for Tar Heel basketball, B-Dot, is in with us. Roy Williams joined us earlier this hour. So I'll just go ahead and say it. I think you're the best Tar Heel guest we've had this hour.
Absolutely, and I'll take that. Amen. And big shout-out to Tar Heel Nation, the best fans in college basketball. Oh,
come on, you don't really buy that garbage, do you?
I'll roll with it. Listen, after the season we've had, we've got to take our wins when they come, buddy.
Like BYU being in the championship, I think that kind of disregards it all. Kind of like when the ACC does the greatest players ever bracket, and then Syracuse and NC State fans ruin it to the point where all four players in the Final Four are Syracuse players who never played 1 minute in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
I totally understand what you're saying, and I get that. And if you aren't a Tar Heel fan, then I can see why you might want to put an asterisk beside our great award that we were just awarded a couple days ago. But as a fan of Tar Heel Nation, especially as the unofficial mascot of Tar Heel basketball, we're going to take this and we're going to roll with it. We're going to can't wait to see that billboard in Durham.
Oh, my God. This is just so insufferable that you actually think this is a cool thing.
This is a great thing. And, I mean, after the season that we've had, I'm telling you, man, it was a dumpster fire to be able to have something to rejoice about. And the fact that the players and ex-players are all getting behind it, too. Harrison Barnes is coming out. Theo Pinson is educating us on which fan base we hate more between Duke and NC State and where the billboard should go in Raleigh versus Durham. It has caused a great conversation around Carolina basketball, and I'm thankful.
I could give a about North Carolina right now.
I do think you could distinguish two things. I do think Duke is obviously a bigger rival for North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But I do think North Carolina hates NC State more than Duke. I do. They are bothered more by the Wolfpack because they know more people who are NC State grads than you know Duke graduates. Or even Duke fans. Like, you see more NC State people in the streets than you do Duke fans. You just
do. No way.
Do.
No way. I don't.
In but North Carolina? In this state?
I just don't. I see that D everywhere. Maybe they just wear more nailia so it appears that way. But I'm telling you, I see Duke way more. And even from the players' perspective that I had the luxury of conversing with about this subject, they even said that the fans from NC State are just disrespectful and rude, whereas the crazies are just loud and obnoxious.
There's something Robert wants to ask you about, and we're going to get to that in a little over 5 minutes.
Love talking to Rob.
But Wes Miller, he's being seen as one of the primary candidates for the Wake Forest job. I've made a lot of phone calls in the last 24 hours, and it's just one of those things where there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to Forbes and Miller. But I trust Jeff Goodman, who we expect to be on the show on tomorrow. He broke the Danny news. He's one of the insiders we have in college basketball. He said that it's Miller and Forbes who are the front runners at this moment. I see Miller as the most fascinating candidate out there. But I also think what fascinates me about him also might be hurdles for him to get the job. Maybe it would hold him back from wanting to take the job or Wake Forest wanting to offer him an opportunity. And it starts with the concern about Ken Miller. I think that's real. Ken Miller, he's not the primary donor. I think Connor O'Neill either said on this show or told me some other time that he's not one of the primary tier donors like a McCreary or a Mitch Shaw or like a Ben Sutton or even like a Flo with Flo Automotive and all that. But he is a secondary donor, enough so that he has his name on the practice facility that Wake Forest players will be going into. And that's just such an interesting dynamic that I've never seen before. Somebody being a good enough coach locally that he will get an opportunity potentially to coach in a building that bears his name. That is wild, but I think there are pros and cons with that. The pro, obviously, is the Wake connection, and he understands Winston-Salem, understands Wake Forest. The negative, from Wes's perspective, I'd imagine, he doesn't want nepotism to be something that people say resulted in him getting something he feel he earned, right? Also, if you're John Curry and you're Wake Forest, you have to have the conversation with Ken Miller. Is this something you're comfortable with? Because someone once told me, coaches, they're hired to be fired. One day they will get fired. It's very rare that a guy stays somewhere forever. And when that day comes, if it comes, well, what happens then? I don't think Ken Miller is throwing in the buyout money to get rid of his son. Also, I know a lot of these major donors, they're all friends with each other. They go to games with each other. They know each other. If it's seen as a messy deal that, you know, Wes is somebody they're trying to move off of, it could damage the relationship with the donor that they have. And if they don't agree that Wes should be fired in an instance way down the road, who's to say it doesn't affect the other donor's willingness to give if they're siding with their friend Kim Miller? I just think there are a lot of angles to this that have to be explored.
Agree, but I feel the Ken Miller dynamic is a plus for Wes Miller in this regard. I think that gives him a direct tie-in to Wake Forest.
No doubt.
Of course, his upbringing in this area. The fear for a Wake Forest potential hire of Wes Miller is something that we spoke about briefly yesterday, just on the idea that we know that this ain't Wes Miller's last stop, right? We know where Wes Miller wants to end up. He wants to be the head coach for the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
And there are – I am not concerned with that. I'm not. But there are – I know there are donors who don't want to make a decision, don't want to pay out so much in a buyout to hire a new coach that they feel if he's successful, it's just essentially going to be a farm system for the Tar Heels. Like, I feel like that is something some donors are worried about. Here's what I would say to them, though. Mac Brown, when he was hired last year or a year and a half ago, the biggest criticism of it was, oh my gosh, you're only going to get him for 4 or 5 years. How great of a decision does that look like now for North Carolina? It looks like an excellent decision. 5 years is a long time. Skip Prosser, I think, was only at Wake Forest for 6, maybe 7 years. Danny was here for only 6 seasons, but it seemed like a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
Wake needs to get somebody who wins. If Wes takes the North Carolina job in this hypothetical as the head coach of Wake, that means he won at Wake.
Correct.
And that means he put the program in a better place than it is right now.
Agreed.
I don't think Roy's retiring anytime soon. I'm done guessing.
Yeah.
When that's going to happen. So I don't think Wes is in that place yet. He's not in that tier where I think he would even be considered for North Carolina's head basketball job. He would need to go to a place like Wake or somebody like that in order to get that type of opportunity. I'm not worried about that if I'm Wake Forest. Not at all. I mentioned the example of Scotty Montgomery yesterday at East Carolina. Scotty, he was hired from Duke. He went to Duke. David Cutcliffe, he's getting up there in years. Pirate fans, they were critical of it. Oh my gosh, this guy's going to win so much. Oh, we're going to lose him in 3 or 4 years. I'm like, well, that'll be better than what we've had the last few years where ECU's done all this losing, and that's, you know, not where you want to be.
Yeah.
Right? And it ended up he did not win as much as they thought he would. He ended up getting fired. So worry about the winning first. Worry about bringing in the guy you think is going to put your program in a better place.
And when it's between Wes and Forbes, you got to go Wes in this situation.
I agree with that.
If you're talking about we're going to grab a coach from the SoCon, both have been very successful in, with both programs, East Tennessee State and UNCG, of course. But Forbes cannot relate. I don't think he can relate better to this area, to this league, than Wes Miller can.
He can't. I don't think he can because he doesn't have any ties
Facts.
To North Carolina. I mean, he's been a career assistant. None of those stops in North Carolina, South Carolina, or Virginia. None. Tennessee, eh, it's not that far, but it's a lot farther than Greensboro. It is. It is. So I'm with you. I think Wes Miller is a better candidate. But let's get to the thing that Robert wanted to ask B-Dot about.
Yes, Rob.
What is it? I have no idea what speed dotting is.
Yeah.
But Robert is interested.
Oh, yeah, it definitely piqued my interest. As soon as I saw
Robert
your little
promo. A single guy.
Okay, it's not so much for me as I am,
it is.
As much as I'm interested in the whole process.
Yeah.
I think the concept as a whole is gold, especially during this quarantine.
Absolutely.
Because you know how many guys and girls are sitting at home with their families, with the same people they look at every day, and they're like, man, I would really love to put my tongue in somebody new's throat. You know,
Robert,
that's what they're thinking.
You're
I feel
doing
like
that in your home.
I feel like
stop speaking for other people. Speak for yourself.
Okay, Fact. You have someone to kiss at home, and so does Dot.
Oh, I know.
Do not.
Not me, but I'm just saying speak for yourself. Don't
I'm
say
sure.
hypothetical people.
Okay, all these single people.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is their standards have dropped. And for me, that means it's a perfect time to swoop in. Look, I'm looking for – I'm not trying to come on the show, but I would like to be thought of for a woman who – shows a certain amount of traits, like maybe she and her father don't get along so well. Maybe she has different colored hair. It's just the warning signs that would be crazy for most people.
What about Pearson's over under 5?
Oh my gosh. If it's over, let me know. You okay. better call me. That's a bye in my situation.
Can we make this happen? Can we get Robert on speed dining?
See, I don't want to be on the thing. I don't
want
to.
I want him to.
Look, see, like from a visual perspective, and this is strictly a visual perspective for them, because I feel like they get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's different than me shooting the stuff with you at a bar than it is you looking at me on your phone like, wow, this guy has
Are
braces.
You self-conscious?
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Dude, who are you talking to?
Absolutely.
I look at me. Of course I'm self-conscious. But I feel like once I can
How many of your photos are you smiling in?
Oh, since I've had braces, none. I literally bought a house, and the guy was like, yeah, if you could just like take a picture in front of it and send it to me. I was like, yeah, there's no chance in hell that's ever happening. I'm not taking any pictures smiling or anything while I have these braces.
I mean, I've seen your profile on some of these dating sites. You've showed it to me.
Yeah, it's my butt.
Yeah, you have like your naked butt on one of those pictures.
It is. See, I feel like that's going to let them know that I'm a goofball.
Absolutely.
I'm a cornball. Like that's what you're getting with me. You're
you
getting
know,
will
goofy.
You go on speed dotting?
This is the same answer for when you asked me to do The Bachelorette at
it's a little different.
No, okay.
You don't know the people at The Bachelor. I mean, you know B-Dot. You can trust B-Dot.
I do know B-Dot, and I do trust B-Dot. Who I don't trust are the people that are going to be in the comments roasting my
Who cares? Since when do you care about that?
All right, so listen. Speed dotting, for those who are listening, like, what is this foreign term they keep speaking about? It's basically speed dating on Instagram Live, but I put my name in it for branding purposes. So it's speed dotting.
He's a smart man.
Go on Instagram and
yes.
do this, Robert.
Yes, I do it on Wednesday nights at 8:30. Now, tonight, I already have my show, but I need a guy for next Wednesday.
Robert,
I have found it,
please.
Just like millions of single women out here, I, too, have found it difficult to find single
like,
men
the
to
way,
participate
the way
in the show.
I promote the show, I get these great guests. I get Roy. I get John Swafford.
Yeah.
This is the way you help us, Robert.
Yes.
Yeah, oh,
this
my
is the
God.
Way
Don't
you help
try
our
to turn
station.
This around. I mean, this is what
Josh
I'm doing.
Is like, I would love to hop on Instagram and
see Robert make a fool of himself.
Oh, no. I want you to find love.
Oh, my God.
That's
I'm
what
not
I want.
I'm trying to find love.
Speed dotting.
If I met my wife on speed dotting.
I want a yes or no in the next 20 seconds.
All right,
is it
yeah,
a yes?
I'll do it. Yeah,
yeah, let's go. The pressure. The pressure.
Next Wednesday. And we can do the pregame show when you're in here
yes.
next
oh
Wednesday.
Yes.
This is
I'm
going to be
mouth
fantastic.
Guard.
Be like, yeah!
Why is this guy wearing a mouth guard? Oh,
ladies,
got his teeth
protect your
out.
Neck, protect your mouth. Robert's coming at you. You are listening to WSGS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Arlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals making up Sports Hub Triad.
A much, 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 much better show, better show, better show. The Drive with Josh Graham.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about many of the Wake Forest coaching candidates. I believe there to be six in contention. Those coaches, Ryan Odom, Steve Forbes, Thad Matta, Wes Miller, Tommy Amaker, and Pat Kelsey. B-Dot's hanging out in studio with us. Out of those six, eliminating guys that just aren't in the mix, I'm being told via text. Russell Turner, Lavelle Moten, John Beilein was never a part of this. Thad Matta is the highest risk, highest reward candidate. In terms of the risk, I'm very concerned about the recruiting. He said when he was fired at Ohio State in May of 2017 that he was burned out on recruiting. Burned out. You have to recruit a lot differently at Wake Forest than you do at Ohio State. You're going to have less resources at Wake Forest than you would at Ohio State. Also, with the one-time transfer rule getting ready to come into college basketball, it's going to be more intense than ever. You're going to be seeing things that mirror free agency in college sports. So is he going to be able to jump full force into that? If he already raised concerns about it 3 years ago, and he's been out the last three seasons, how is that going to go when he's at Wake Forest, where I think it is harder to recruit than Ohio State? As for the reward, this is why I think he's the highest reward candidate of the bunch. He is the only candidate that's been to the Final Four. And he hasn't just been there. He's been there twice. Greg Oden and them boys, Mike Conley, 2007. Evan Turner, I think they went in 2012. Just fantastic coaching jobs that he did. And no one else's resume has that on it, where you're going to the Final Four. Here's the crazier part. You know what Thad Matta looks like? B-Dot?
What?
Do you know what he looks like?
No, I couldn't.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Robert, just Google Thad Matta very quickly.
I don't know what he looks like.
Either. I want you to Google Thad Matta very quickly.
Oh, my God. He looks like...
Okay? Guess his age. This is what I want you to do. Guess his age. Thad Matta.
64.
69. 64 for B-Dot. Robert, how old is he?
59.
He's 52 years old.
Wow. He's 52? Why did age hit him so hard?
He is the anti... Show. He is the anti-Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah. Legit.
Do you know how old Leonard Hamilton is? This is always a very fun game.
He's 60. I know he's 60-something, like 62.
Leonard Hamilton, here's a picture of Leonard.
He's like 62, 63.
Okay, Robert, Google Leonard Hamilton. I want you to guess what Leonard Hamilton's age is.
I don't believe he's got to be older than that because black don't crack.
So it don't.
So you said 62. Robert, what do you think Leonard Hamilton?
I'll go 63 just to be on top.
He is 71.
Jesus what? He's Christ. In his 70s?
That's
no
right.
Way.
So Thad Matta.
Black don't crap, boy.
So Thad Matta is the anti-Leonard Hamilton.
God.
52
God.
Years
old. God.
The same birthday, bro. August 4th.
He's on the
Are you
back
kidding?
End.
Yeah, we have the same birthday.
Oh, I thought you said that Hamilton and Thad Matta had the same birthday. No. That would be crazy.
No, so, what's crazy is Leonard Hamilton's right there at 71.
He's 3 years younger than Tommy Amaker, Thad Matta. But you wouldn't think that by seeing pictures. You just want it. So Matta, still pretty young and been to a couple Final Fours. That's a guy that you think can probably win you a ton of basketball games if he's hungrier. If being out of it the last few years makes you hungrier. Here are my bigger concerns, though. I'm concerned about his health. He had a back injury, and I don't know the state of that. If that's good, then great. Consider him and make him a serious candidate, John Curry. No real ties to North Carolina or Wake Forest. But unlike the other guys, Matta, he has enough cachet that I think he would be able to fix that problem by hiring a staff of people. Like, if you're Forbes, the smartest thing you can do if you take the Wake Forest job, having no ties here, is hire Randolph Childress to be your assistant coach.
100%.
That would be a very smart thing by Forbes to do immediately. If you're trying to relate to people because you have no ties to North Carolina or Wake, well, Randolph is somebody who has coached here the last handful of years. It's a connection to the previous staff. It's not unknown for somebody to do that before. So I'm not really concerned that much about the ties for a guy like Matta.
Resources do concern me, though. He was at Ohio State from 2004 to 2017. And he's been out of it the last 3 years. Winning at Wake, it's different than winning at Ohio State. Now, it's still a job you can win at. Like, it isn't like some of the cruddy jobs you see other places. Like, you can win at Wake Forest. I mean, if they could pay $15 million to buy out a basketball coach, reportedly, they will have resources for you to win basketball games. And it's a good league. Kids are going to want to play there. You're in a hotbed when it comes to recruiting. You can win at Wake Forest. But it's just a different amount of resources you get at a small private school than you would at a big public school like Ohio State. It just is. It's not going to be the same deal. And that is a concern of mine. So there you have it. Thad Matta, not my favorite candidate. Pat Kelsey, I've said it all along, my favorite candidate. But Thad Matta is the highest risk, highest reward candidate of the six popular names we keep seeing thrown out there. Beat out your thoughts.
I'll give you that, but Thad, it don't matter. You're not going to be out here, buddy.
Wow.
Sorry. That's, no way.
That's really good what he just did.
Did you like what I did there?
All right, we got grammar school in 10 minutes. The Roy Williams interview, if you missed it, it's already up on social media. It's up on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Just simply search The Drive with Josh Graham. We had him for 17 minutes. Let's hear a few things that Coach Williams had to say, starting with this really neat story. Joel Berry, he was with us, and he said after the 2016 championship game, Michael Jordan came into the locker room. With The Last Dance being front and center and everybody talking about Mike, I was interested in more details on that story and the pride that MJ has in wearing Carolina blue.
I get to a little holding area, a little area right outside the locker room, and I sit down in a chair because I'm trying to figure out what can I say. And all of a sudden, somebody just wraps their arms around me and said, I wanted to check on you. And I turned around, and it was Michael. And I said to him, Michael, I just feel so inadequate. I don't know what to say. I said, how about you stepping in there and saying something to them just for a minute, and then we'll get security to get you back out and get you out of here. He said, yeah, no problem. And he went right in there. And one of the guys in there was Marcus Page, who had made the most miraculous shot I had ever seen. And he had his head down in a towel, and he was crying. And then he told me later, he said, all of a sudden he realized that that was not Coach Williams' voice that was talking. And so he looked up, and it was Michael. And he did. He talked about how proud he was of them, and to use this as a learning experience for the rest of their lives. You got to be able to handle this, but you got to be able to bounce back.
Pretty neat stuff there.
That was dope. What was dope about that is we were all Roy Williams, all Tar Heel fans. We were all sitting somewhere not knowing exactly what to say. And some of us were even Marcus Page with our head in a damn towel sobbing. That was one of the worst losses in history. Up until that point, it was the Austin River shot. But now, no debate.
I was in Colorado. I seemed to enjoy it. That's just because I'm not very emotionally attached one way or the other. But it was a great finish. If you didn't have a dog in the fight, man. That's just as good as it gets.
On the heels of me telling you how distraught I was, nobody cared that you were so entertained by it, Josh. That was very just...
Robert was very entertained.
I bet he was.
I could give a about North Carolina right now.
Yeah, Robert, I think it's starting to come out. He does not care for Carolina at all.
Why not, Rob? What did Carolina do to you? Are you a Duke fan?
No, I went to ECU, and I was like always being little brother. And I had friends that went to Carolina, and it was always like, you went to ECU because you couldn't get in here. I did get into Carolina. I did not want to go.
You got into Carolina?
Yeah, I got into Carolina. I was going to go to South Carolina, and then I went to ECU, and I was like, nope, this is where it is.
I didn't get into North Carolina.
Really?
I'm not sure if I would have went, but I didn't get into North
Carolina. Yeah, I used to be super studious and like nerdy. I was like vice president of my graduating class. Weighted or not weighted? I had a four flat.
For you to even ask that.
Four flat?
Dude, I was like top 10 in a class like 400. I was really smart.
What was your senior superlative?
West Forsyth, stand up.
Class clown?
I was not West Forsyth. I was North Davidson.
Oh, North Davidson. Sorry.
It's okay.
Get it together.
Black Knight.
Forsyth County.
No, that's Davidson County.
Damn it.
You're horrible at this. Did you get a senior superlative, Josh?
I did. My senior superlative was best smile. And the joke I had this tooth knocked out with a BB gun when I was a kid.
No joke.
And my junior and senior year, I had like a flipper that had that tooth, which if you're trying to picture it at home, it's the same tooth the guy was missing in The Hangover. And yeah. I would take to eat, I would have to take it out. So people pick fun at me. Like, I have one of my front teeth missing. So everybody voted I had the best smile.
That's hilarious. My best friend had the exact same thing you're talking about, and I got the whole class to vote him best smile.
That's amazing.
So in the pictures, it's just him smiling with like a goofy gap tooth. That's hilarious.
You guys are all bleep holes. All right. We got BDOT's grammar school to do here. Yep. If you want to be my lifeline, my help in grammar school, if you think you know the urban vernacular well, because I'm not very good at it, which, again, isn't a race thing. Robert's very good at this, and many others are. I'm just not.
Facts.
336-777-1600 if you want to be the lifeline. We are playing BDOT's grammar school next.
Welcome to the show that cloned the Loch Ness Monster and got her drunk.
The Drive with Josh Graham.
It's the fastest hour of the week that goes by. BDOT in studio with us. It's going to be even faster next week because Robert agreed to go on speed dotting on Instagram Live. He's going to find himself a lady. We don't think the lady's going to be very wholesome, because that's not what Robert's looking for.
This is such a mistake on my part.
It's not, man. It's going to be a great
time.
I'm
getting a ton of tweets. I'm getting a lot of texts.
Yeah. Like, people are really interested in seeing you going on my show.
Since I don't have Instagram, can I watch this Robert episode on speed dotting next week? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people enjoy car crashes. I get it.
I don't think that's what it is. I think people are rooting for you.
They are.
Except the Carolina fans.
Yeah, they're like...
that's actually what I'm worried about. There are going to be people... like that have ladies be like, get on Instagram and talk bleep about this guy. Come on, get on there. Like, you'd be surprised. Sawyer, he'd be doing Twitch, and then fans of the show would hear he's on Twitch. They'd find him, and they'd ask him sports questions.
Really?
Like, hey, what's going on with this? And he's playing Fortnite or something. Yeah. I don't know what Sawyer's up
to. Well, that's good.
Right. So that's exactly, I think, we're looking for next week. Something fun's going to happen as a result of this. Robert's probably going to get embarrassed, kind of like I get embarrassed every single week during this segment because I'm awful when it comes to the urban vernacular. However, I've checked. I'm pretty sure I've won the last 2 weeks.
You definitely have.
I'm getting better at this, guys.
Well, you're staying consistent. You haven't really gotten better. You won three back-to-back weeks, but we want you to get a little bit better. Why don't you try to get four this week?
I'm going to try. If you want to be my lifeline, 336-777-1600, it's time, I almost said speed dotting, it's time for BDOT's Grammar School.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
In high school, he didn't play sports, but he did wear a helmet.
And just when you think it can't get any worse.
My English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high.
Damn.
Thanks a lot. Next semester, I'll be 35.
Josh is going to attempt to learn BDOT's vernacular.
I'm from the old school. I got a little street knowledge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's time for BDOT's Grammar School.
Oh, and for those wondering, John Swafford, he's going to be with us at 5:15, the ACC commissioner.
Absolutely. You're listening to BDOT's Grammar School. If you would like to be a lifeline for Josh, call right now. 336 is the area code, 777-1600, and Rob will get you queued up because we've only got one lifeline in there for you, which is Rob. So you're going to need somebody on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I got one lifeline at the moment, unless someone in the audience feels like they're pretty good with the urban vernacular. I'm
absolutely
not. Okay.
Last week, set, flex, sauce, that work, and side piece. This week, what does it mean, Josh, to take several seats? Take several seats.
Robert doesn't look confident at all in this.
Doesn't?
So I'm not going there. Take several seats.
Yes.
Huh. Can I get it in a sentence or no? Is that not allowed, Robert?
What say you, Rob?
I'm struggling to understand what this is because I've heard, like, take a seat.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know what? I'll allow it.
Sentence. Someone does something and she says, you need to take several seats.
Okay. Take several seats means that you are out of bounds, out of line, and you need to be coached up or taught something. You need You're way out of base here. You need to learn something.
That is 100% incorrect.
Oh!
Is it just sit your ass down? Is
yeah,
that what it means?
Pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means, Rob. It means the person is doing too much, and they just need to shut up. They need to sit down. Matter of fact, don't sit down in just one seat. You sounded so stupid, you need to take several seats. Just take a bunch of sit downs.
I like that.
Yeah. Your second word here in BDOT's Grammar School. Again, if you would like to be a lifeline for Josh, 336-777-1600.
I haven't used Robert as my lifeline
You
yet,
have not.
So this is not going to go well for me. We're off to a bad start.
Second word is slide. S-L-I-D-E. Slide.
Okay. Would it be like sliding into the DMs?
No.
Okay.
All right. And... Two,
oh, no, 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 no. That was not. No, I'm asking context because that's a totally different slide.
He really just tricked me and used a lifeline on me. That's what he did.
I did not. Because, again, I was just seeing if the expression
slide
was the same.
Got
it.
Okay.
Like, slide into the DMs is its own thing.
Oh, yeah, that's
and I didn't say slide into the DM.
I know. It's a totally different thing. I'm not saying that's my answer.
We'll
holy bleep to some vultures out here.
Slide.
I doubt you're thinking about the Goo Goo Dolls song. It's really good. Slide.
Who says that?
Robert, I'm going to use you as my lifeline. What slide?
I think slide is like, hey, slide, come over. Hey, do this. Hey, slide over here.
No, that is incorrect, actually. That is incorrect.
Rob!
If somebody's somewhere and we's like, yo, let's slide, that means let's leave. Slide is leave. Yo, let's slide, bro. Let's leave. Gosh. Hey, listen. Right now, Josh is going to need you.
Oh, my gosh.
336 is the area code. 777.
It's clear my audience doesn't know these things. My audience doesn't know what this is. They just want to see me drown. It's 777-1600. They don't want to see me get this right.
Third word, Josh. What is that, Rona?
Coronavirus.
There you go.
I know.
There you go.
I know that one. Did you have that one written down?
Yes.
Did you actually
throw
me a bone?
That Rona.
I know what that Rona is. Okay,
Josh,
we're on the board.
What is Nebuary?
Josh should know because he got heated at me the last time I used it.
What is Nebuary?
It's a way, rather than saying something's never going to happen, you say, oh yeah, that'll happen in Nebuary. That's how you shut people down.
That is 100% correct, Josh.
Yeah!
That is the date used for something that will never happen.
Okay.
The 32nd of February.
The 32nd
Josh
of February.
So mad last time.
I got it. I got it right.
All
so
right.
I got two right, two wrong.
Final word. Josh, what is wet wet?
Wet wet.
Can we do this?
Yes. Don't worry about it. I got it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. I got it.
I'm terrified. I don't know if I can do this.
Ooh.
Come on. Is Wet Wet going to be on Instagram Live next week during speed dotting?
I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
Okay. It's like, I'd imagine it's when a woman is fond of you. That's the way I'd put it.
I will go to my judge, which is Rob. Rob, the correct definition of wet wet.
I have to be careful. Come on.
I understand. But there's a three-letter word that starts with S that rhymes with flex. When she is good with that, when she has good sex, that is wet wet. Will you give Josh's answer a point?
You know what? I'll give it to him.
Are you going to give it to him? Are you going to give it to him?
It's an amazing day in the neighborhood.
He knew what he was talking about.
If she is confident in her sexual prowess, that is what she calls it.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. This is the radio equivalent of wet wet.
Ooh.
What are you talking about? Your armpits? What are we doing?
Josh is really sweating, too.
Oh, I'm excited.
He fought through this one today. Good job.
Good day. You did, yeah.
Roy Williams earlier. John Swofford in a little bit. Wet wet in the middle of the show.
Oh, yeah. Best place for it.
Like, I don't think, I say this with absolute pride. Yes. I don't think there's another radio show, another sports radio show in America who can check these three boxes. ACC Commissioner John Swofford, Roy Williams, and Wet Wet. I don't think so.
In one day.
In one day.
In one show.
In one day. If we're going full week, Matt Rhule and Jay Billis and Nebuary.
That's a weird flex, but you know what? Flex it off, man.
If you want to find this radio show somewhere else, you'd find it on the 32nd of Nebuary.
You tell him, Josh.
That's right.
Dude, he's going to be cool by the end of the summer.
He is, man.
Josh is about to be the coolest dude on the block.
Sarah Bradford going to be fighting him off with a stick. If not, I might end up on speed dotting. Nah.
Oh, yeah. Just kidding, baby. I love you.
I'm just kidding. What's going on? Everything's cool.
Everything's cool.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm done.
Yeah, we are done. I got three in a row to close that thing out.
You did, man. You finished strong, bro. Gosh,
actually, I got three out of four because Robert really sunk me.
Yeah, okay. Slide could be like, I should have known once he told you slide in the DMs was not correct, that it wouldn't be like a go somewhere thing. I'll take the L for that one.
Take the L, that's right.
We'll take the L. You learned that, see?
That's right. Dead ass, B.
Dead ass. All right, we're going to break. I don't even want to hear your tease. I don't even want to hear the tease.
No, I got.
All right, guys, it's been a great show. Check us out tomorrow.
All right, I got to try and make a tease out of this. This is going to be really hard. I mean, do you purposely choose these to make the tease incredibly difficult for me?
Nope, I'm actually just sitting and I'm thinking, like, what are some random slang words that I know that I use or that I hear? And I just start writing down words, and those are the words that come up.
Okay.
So again, if this is your first time listening to B-Dot's Grammar School, Josh Graham now has to put the five words that he learned today in a sentence to tease for his next segment.
Yeah, because B-Dot, he's sliding out of here.
I'm about to slide.
That's right. And
no, say it right. Not B-Dot is sliding out of here. Dot is about to slide.
Dot's about to slide.
There you go.
And man, this next segment, it's the radio equivalent of Wet Wet. That's what I'm saying. Going up against, anybody says our radio show isn't the best, I tell them take several seats.
Take several seats. Let's go.
We got our, at 5 o'clock in the next segment, we got our hourly update on that Rona.
Coronavirus.
You better eat, boy. Let's go.
There's good NIL legislation, but. If you're asking me to find the time, I trust the NCAA to get things right, I'll tell you, Nebuary.
Let's go!
It's all coming up on The Drive.